message this morning. I pray you'd open our hearts and minds to your word, and Lord, give me the words to say by the power, the anointing of your Holy Spirit. We depend on you, Lord, to speak to us. There's many things we need to know from our hearts and in our hearts as you speak to us today. Make this a blessed time of your thoughts to us, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So the emphasis of the message this morning I have is on the fact of, actually I was focused on verse 2, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. As you know, in our Bible study on Wednesday evenings at 6, we've been in the book of, we started just last week in the book of Hebrews. It was a decision by some of the members of the church wanted to get deeper in the Word of God. They said, we'd rather have the Word of God and have the Bible open in front of us instead of a curriculum. And I loved it. They want to get deeper. And so we did. We got only, I think, through 3 verses, maybe 4. And I said, there's no time limit, so we have plenty of time to get deeper in the Word of God and give God the opportunity to speak to our hearts and minds. But the message here, you know, when I put in the title there, the supremacy of Christ in you, the supremacy of Christ in me. And what that is what that means, the supremacy of Christ, is that Christ is the central focus of our lives. That in every aspect of our lives, we're serving him. And I've heard sometimes this passage referred to, maybe a sermon title or a Bible study. I've heard it this way, that Jesus is better. Somebody might hear that and say, better than what? It's actually from the scripture saying, Jesus is better than everything. He's better than angels. He's better than prophets. He's the heir of all things. And we see that through the creation story, that Christ was not born, didn't begin his ministry when he came here on earth as a man, in the form of a man, but that he's from eternity past. And in this moment of time, God sends his Son. That's the emphasis on verse 2. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. And we see in the Bible many times and places, I think they say there's like 300 names for the name of Jesus. And I oftentimes begin in my meditation on in time with God in remembrance of that. And I know that there's many, you probably know many different names for Jesus. I know him. I kind of thought of him alphabetically over the years that I talked to God and just in worshiping of him, the author and perfecter of our faith, the Amen, the Alpha and the Omega, the anchor and the bread of life and the chief cornerstone and the door, the everlasting Father, the faithful and true witness, the good shepherd, the head of the church, the image of the invisible God, the judge, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Messiah, the Nazarene, the only begotten Son, the Prince of Peace, the Rose of Sharon, and the way, the truth, and the life. And like I said, there's about 300 different names of that. It gives me a great satisfaction in my heart when I worship God that way, to see that he is the preeminent God who has been here from the beginning, from eternity. There is no beginning for God. He's been here all along. But as we would look to the Bible and see when we read Genesis, the beginning of the story of his eternal being. And so the Bible says again here in verse 2 that in these last days God has spoken through his Son. And I wanted to emphasize this today to say God in these last days has spoken through his Son, and his Son whom has spoken through us. I wanted to emphasize that. We talked a little bit about that in Bible study Wednesday, how God today speaks. He doesn't speak through one prophet anointed by God, but we are prophets in that sense that Jesus is speaking through us. There's 2 other pastors here that can attest to this many times. I'm sure this has happened to you many times. I preached in a church, and afterwards somebody would say to me, it's happened once, at least once since I've been here in this church. The person isn't here. I'm not going to embarrass them by saying this. But they said, you were talking about me, weren't you? I tell you what, if that ever happens and you feel as if the preacher, and you trust that they're not, you know, censoring you, but actually preaching from the Word of God, that when you hear that, to get home and get on your knees and pray before God, because God's talking to you. God is talking to you. And when God speaks, I've told many people many times that when God has spoke to other people, and I've seen that confirmation, there has never been, I've been in ministry for like 30 years between discipleship ministry, pastoral ministry, and in all that time, there has not been one time, a lot of ministry, a lot of street evangelism, all kinds, radio ministry, TV ministry, and there has not been one time that God put on my heart something to say to the people who are in that audience. It was always God speaking through me. I was never conscious of what he was saying. I got some, and most people will not give you the feedback. It's nice when they give you the feedback and tell you, you know, God spoke to me through that message, or that message was for me. And it makes no difference to me. I know that God, if you're speaking from your heart, God's going to speak through you. But when we look at this passage, we're talking about God and Christ being the center. When we say he's the supremacy of our lives, the supreme God in us, that means that every aspect of our life is committed to him. And we have those scriptures to look at, Galatians 2:20. It's not just a figurative verse. Paul is making our relationship with Christ personal. For I am crucified with Christ. Think about that. That when we got saved, we were crucified. Our sins died on the cross. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is similar. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And some of you, if you had began that study on Romans chapter 12 Christian, you remember there those verses, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And it talks in verse 2, it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And we see this whole process of when Christ is supreme in our lives, that he's changing our minds and how we think. And sometimes we lose sight of that as Christians, that we don't think the same way we did before. That Christ is in the center of our lives. And it doesn't mean we're perfect, but it means that we're being perfected. You've heard me say before, it's that bent towards God that we have. You know, if you look at the amp meter in your vehicle or tractor, and you see that amp meter, and your battery is either in the middle, and it's charged up, or it's discharging, or it's charging. You know, I always say that if it's in the middle in Christianity, it means we're probably complacent, you know. But if that needle's bent, if it's bent towards God, you know, it's bent towards the positive aspect of the voltage, you know, the empowerment of God, the dynamo of God, the dynamic of God, we know that we're walking and getting closer to him. We're learning. It's a lifelong process. And so I think about that process all the time. You've heard me say it before, that when we sow a word, as far as our thinking, Romans 12:2, we sow a word and we reap a thought. And then we sow the thought and we reap an action. And then we sow the action. And after a while, we develop a habit. And after the habit, it becomes our character. And ultimately, our character leads to our destiny. It all starts with a word. Isn't it amazing how the computer is structured? Whatever you put in it, you know, it's an input and an output to us. Whatever we put into that computer, you know, a computer AI even doesn't have, some people would argue with me, and I'm no expert, and they could make a fool out of me, but that AI has no feelings. It has no personal intellect. It can't respond through emotion or connection to God. It's just mere knowledge. That's all it is. And that's what makes the difference between AI and God. And I told you, I think last week I was there, I was looking for a scripture, and I went to look for it, and I have my phone there. You know, it's quick now today. One of the blessings of having the internet, you can look it up real quick and find a verse. And I went to do that, and I'm not exaggerating this. I hope you don't, if you know me, you know I'm not, I hope you believe I'm not. But the Holy Spirit said to my heart, I can find it quicker than that. And I'm not kidding you, I turned the page right to it. And it doesn't happen every time that way, but it was God telling me, great, God is greater. God is even faster. God is quicker than even the internet. Isn't that amazing? If you think about that, if our trust is in him. Again, but in these last days, God has spoken to us through his son. I just want to kind of shift here the message here this morning, that what we're seeing in the world today is this great surgence of opposition. We know it's always been here since the beginning of time. You know, we're seeing on national TV, you know, this recent incident with Charlie Kirk and what he represented and what he went through. And I just want to make sure you hear me say this. I'm not making him a saint. I don't know what's in his heart, was in his heart, or what his intention was. But I do know that the Bible says we'll know them by their fruit. And as he was there in the world, I do believe very strongly that God was using him as a role model in the world to reflect, as a reflection to what God would want us to be. That's a very important part about Christianity, is our role models. Young people who we see, Christian athletes, Christian actors, people out there, God allows that. He loves that, to see for young people especially, and not just young people, but especially I think young people, as they see those leaders and say, wow, that person is doing what I'd like to do, and they're representing Christ, and they're not ashamed of it, and they're speaking publicly. To emphasize something here from the Word of God, when I talk about this infiltration of the mind, this surgence of opposition that we're seeing today, is not something new. It's been around for over 2,000 years. The Scriptures point to it, and I see in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul saw this, the Apostle Paul. He saw this, and then he was speaking to his disciple, you could say, Timothy, in the second letter. He said to him this, here's the, as the voice of God, you could say, as a man of God who has made Christ supreme in his life, this was Paul giving him this instruction, what to do. He said, preach the word in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come, and I'll tell you, the time is here now. That was over 2,000 years ago. He said, the time will come when men will reject the truth and turn aside to myths. And they're wanting to have their ears tickled will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. And they'll turn away from the truth and they'll turn aside to myths. And we see that today. We see it all over the world. That people, and actually says in the context of what Paul is saying this, he's not saying like just unbelievers are going to turn from the truth. He's saying people of faith. We're living in the age where even Christians, it says it in First Timothy, in the first letter, that's chapter 4 also, the Spirit explicitly says that in the later time, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits, things taught by demons. I don't know if you ever thought about that. Again, what does it mean to abandon your faith and go after the doctrine, listen to the doctrine of demons? I can tell you, I can say it before the Lord. And most of the time, in the context of what Paul's saying, he's talking about religious people. He's talking about people abandoned their faith, started to listen to the doctrine of demons. What is the doctrine of demons? Anything that is contrary to the Word of God. Anything. And there's a doctrine about who God is. You know, there's an orthodox teaching about who God is. There's a doctrine about who Christ is. There's a doctrine about who the Holy Spirit is. There's a doctrine of angels, a doctrine of salvation. There's a doctrine of everything in the Bible. And when a person, a Christian even, gets caught into this doctrine of demons, what it is that they begin to use their own intellect, their own way. But you as a Christian hear what they're saying, and it's totally contrary to the Word of God. That's a doctrine of demons. They're participating in the doctrine of demons. I've heard some people, sometimes people in churches, that talk about God, and I'm like, they're like way out there. I mean, these ideas they have about God have nothing to do with God at all. But it sounds good. It sounds educational. It sounds believing. But no, You know, it's that kind of rhetorical statement you hear in that Bible study or Sunday school, and you're talking about some scripture, and a person says, well, this is what I think. It's just some dangerous, you know, it's actually dangerous. I'll tell you why. Oftentimes I'll confront it, not in a rude, harsh way, but in a polite way, and I'll say to the person, well, you know what the Bible says, and I'll point to the Bible. And they'll be still consistent with their belief. I told somebody last week in the Bible study, I usually say it two times, right? I because sometimes people think I'm saying it because I want to argue. I don't want to argue. If you really knew who I am, I walk away from a fight. I don't want to argue. But I'll usually two times. I'm not legalistic about that. But if they don't listen after that, that's between them and God, right? And the reason I say that, I found that as a pastor, a lot of people don't realize that pastor, whoever it is accountable. If I, as a pastor, hear something incorrect and point that incorrection to that person and correct them, right? I'm accountable if I don't say anything to that person. A lot of people don't realize that I'm accountable to God. God say, You heard, John, you heard that person misquote scripture, and you didn't point to my word and correct them. Why did you do that, John? Were you intimidated? Were you afraid of what they would think of you? All these different excuses, you know, we might come up with. But God holds us accountable to his word, and that's the importance of what we need to be doing as Christians when we look at, you know, what God wants for our lives. But on this subject again of I'm kind of closing the message here on this thought of role models. You know, if God is using role models in the world today to be that voice, if God is speaking, as his word says there in verse 2, in these last days God has spoken through his son, and if his son is speaking through us, which he is, when those role models that we see, I believe Charlie Kirk was a role model. I do. Again, I'm not spiritualizing or saying, you know, oftentimes people, when somebody dies, you know, they make them a saint, and they make, you know, they put them on a pedestal. We're all human. We all err. Nobody's perfect, but God is perfect. And as he was out there, if God, and I believe this, as I said, but if God wants us to be a reflection of Charlie Kirk and his witness, what is it that God wants us to see in him that God wants us to possess and have? What is that one thing? Because he's, and I'm hearing comments all over the world after Charlie Kirk's death. What was it? To stand up for the truth. To stand up to the truth. I told you, I visited my home church a couple of weeks ago, and I walked in there, Pastor Dave. Well, I wish you could all someday meet Pastor Dave. He's not going to be around too much longer. I mean, he's 88 years old. But he asked me, God always speaks through him. And he said to me when I walked in there, he said, I told you some of you this already, but he said, what's your favorite verse in the Bible? And it happened to be through the last couple of weeks before that the verse that was on my mind was Joshua 1:8. And I quoted it to him, and I gave my testimony and said, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And the problem today is that as Christians, even we're getting caught into this web of truth, combating with deception, and the devil's turned up the heat. There's no doubt about it. We're in the midst of those last days that Paul talked about, how do we combat it? Again, it's not by flesh and blood. It's not by reason or understanding. It's through the power of God. Again, back to the Bible, God's word again, and that is when we look at the putting on the full armor of God in Ephesians. And it talks about a shod in your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and girding your loins with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. And then what is the last part? Now you have all your, I sometimes do that before a sermon. I actually go through them. I dress myself. I have the Bible open, Ephesians 6, and I clothe myself with all that armor. I even feel heavier afterwards. I got all the armor of God, and I'm walking, you know, up to the pulpit. I don't walk that way. I walk in the pulpit. People think something's wrong with me. But I walk up to the pulpit, I left out one last part of that uniform. And what was that? The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. That's our only offensive weapon. Jesus, when he was in the wilderness and tempted, right? I always think about Jesus being God, could have said anything in response to the devil. He could have said anything. He'd been right. God is always right. God is never wrong. And he's always known everything. He's always known everything. And when you talk about the knowledge of God, it doesn't mean it stops somewhere. God's knowledge just continues, and you could never reach it. The knowledge of God. And so when we look at that, but Jesus, what does he do? The same thing that he wants us to do when the devil tempts us, when tries us. When he says, he said to Jesus, he said, you know, you're God's son and you're hungry. I'm paraphrasing, but he said, you're hungry. Turn these stones into bread. And Jesus said, it's not by bread alone, but by every word. You know, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the Father and the Son, God's word. We can't live without it. We can't live without faith. Bruce touched on that, the faith. You can't, and yesterday as well, I'm closing here in the message, but I was thinking yesterday, the thought as I thought about CPC, and I thought about you gentlemen and ladies and young men, women who are here, and I said, I wasn't saying that to throw out words. I noticed you put Christ first in everything you do. And the verse of this verse of scripture, I was going to at the greeting say, Bruce actually quoted it. We're a team, Bruce. God works powerfully through Bruce in this church. And a lot of people don't maybe not know that. They don't need to know that. But I do. And I've seen that confirmation of God working. But he quoted the verse I wanted to share and didn't share. Maybe that's why God wanted him to share it. You remember what that verse was? Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else shall be given unto you.
Amen. Amen. And so we have a lot to look forward. Look at those. When I see a young man or young woman in the audience, I see a young man here today, those role models that are the influences in your life, and you have a father and mother who love the Lord. What a great place you're in. You're just starting your venture into life, and what an exciting time, you know, in the a lot of the ministries in discipleship ministry sometimes refer to that as the quiet years. They're the years before everything really starts to happen, and you have family and children and things, and you have that time now. And I'm always impressed. My heart's impressed to see you here today, and I hope and know God will bless you and your future from here. And just wanted to kind of close with those thoughts. It's a real blessing to know, as Bruce said this morning, men of God, women of God, who took their time, could have been doing other things, and drove all the way up here, almost 800 miles, to be with us and to be a part of this church service. And this morning meant a lot to me, the communion service. I feel it in my heart and the experience, and with everyone. I hope everyone feels the same way. And well, let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for your word this morning, and the empowerment, the supremacy of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And Father, that you're alive and well today, and that you're working in our lives, that we're in those last days. Paul spoke of the last days as being then. Now it's over 2,000 years. It's certainly the last days, whatever, whether you come today or tomorrow or even 100 years from now. We anticipate, Lord, your coming, that you're going to be here in our presence, in our midst, that we're going to be with you for eternity, that every single thing you say in your word is true, that you've never said anything inaccurate or wrong. We've been wrong. We've misinterpreted you. We've been confused because we've dwelt and depended upon the flesh instead of the Spirit of God. Lord, help us, Lord, to understand deeper your word and apply it every day to our lives, that as we live this life, we would be living it in faith in Christ and carrying your word and making your word first and foremost in our lives. And we thank you for it. Bless each person here in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're able.